All right, so last time we landed on this striking idea. The observer is the observed. The eye watching anger is itself made of past conditioning. Now I want to push on that. What exactly is that conditioning made of?
That's exactly the right pressure point. For Krishnamurti, conditioning is bound up with memory, not just factual memory, like remembering an address, but the accumulated residues of experience that shape our reactions. Wounds, comparisons, beliefs, fears, all of it layered in.
So when he says the known, he means all of that, the whole psychological archive.
Precisely. And here's the mechanism he describes. Experience becomes knowledge, knowledge is stored as memory, and memory then responds to the next challenge as thought. So thought, in this account, isn't independent of the past, it is a response of memory to the present challenge.
Mm-hmm. So when someone thinks they're responding to something new, they may be filtering it through what has already been accumulated.
Yes, and that filter can include influences people may not examine. Family, education, language, religion, culture, even climate and economic pressure. Krishnamurti listed all of these as shapers of the conditioned mind, and crucially, language itself is a form of conditioning. The words we use carve up experience before we've even felt it fully.
Wait, language is conditioning? That's a strong claim. How does that work exactly?
Think of the word anger. The moment someone labels what they feel as anger, they've already placed it in a category built by their culture and upbringing. The label distances them from the raw sensation. Krishnamurti's point is that the word is not the thing, but we habitually mistake one for the other.
That connects to something I want to ask about, psychological time. Because he makes a distinction there that I find genuinely strange at first.
It's one of his most important and counterintuitive ideas. Chronological time, clocks, calendars, learning a language over months, that's real and useful. But psychological time is different. It's the inner project of becoming. I will be happier, I will be wiser, I will be more spiritually advanced. That movement, from what I am now to what I should be, is psychological time.
And the problem is that this becoming is itself driven by memory?
Exactly. Memory creates a sense of yesterday, today and tomorrow inside the mind. The memories of yesterday condition how someone sees today, and that conditioned seeing then projects a tomorrow. So the self is not moving toward freedom, it's just replaying its own past in a new costume.
So even the desire to improve oneself spiritually can be a trap.
That's the counterintuitive core of his teaching. Seeking gradual psychological freedom can actually reinforce the self one is trying to transcend. If the mind simply replaces one chosen pattern with another, say, replacing anger with forced calm, it hasn't understood the pattern. It's just added a new layer of conditioning on top.
So not suppression, not gradual improvement. Then what? What does he actually propose?
Direct observation. Not intellectual analysis, not introspective dissection, but direct attention to how conditioning operates in real relationships and daily life. For example, suppose someone feels resentment toward a colleague. The conditioned response is to explain it, justify it, or suppress it. Krishnamurti says, just observe it. See it as it is, without naming it, without the commentary.
And what happens when an experience is met that way, completely, without the filter?
He suggested it need not leave the same kind of binding residue. An incomplete experience, one met with fear or prejudice, leaves what he called a scar. That scar keeps influencing the present, but when something is met fully, it doesn't accumulate in the same way. The key idea is that freedom isn't freedom from factual memory, it's freedom from being psychologically controlled by memory.
Right, but how? Because that sounds almost impossible for most people.
He didn't offer a technique. He was explicit that following a method, even his own, would just become another form of conditioning. The inquiry itself has to be personal. Listeners have to examine the process of their own thought, not accept his conclusions as a new belief system.
The takeaway, then, is that the self isn't a fixed essence. It's a bundle of memories, habits, wounds, and social conditioning. And the conflict we feel between what is and what should be is generated by psychological time, not by reality.
That's it. And remember, this isn't pessimism. For Krishnamurti, seeing it clearly is itself the beginning of something different. Next, we'll look at what that different state actually looks like, the mind when conditioning falls silent, even briefly.